Well, have you ever worked with someone in the past that tried to do as little as possible for their paycheck? Have you ever been teamed up with a person like that on a job? Or maybe we've encountered someone in a service job. Maybe they're helping us, waiting on us. And maybe they weren't very helpful. Some here may have managed others professionally who have exhibited this attribute. They didn't have any desire to progress or advance their skills. My first job that I entered into in the workforce full-time was a dead-end job, and I was surrounded by people like this. And it was very interesting to see how they were not going anywhere. We would not want to be teamed up with that type of person for very long, would we? We certainly wouldn't want to be teamed up with that person for eternity. God feels similarly. For the positions he is offering, he's looking for people that want to grow, advance, and develop in the spiritual profession. Each of us today is in an apprenticeship for godly occupation. Therefore, if we want to work for God for eternity, we better be showing a willingness now to work hard, to progress, and to advance spiritually. Today, I'd like to explore our critical need to progress spiritually. In doing so, we'll look at a specific area of spiritual growth. Paul describes it as the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. We'll look at why advancing in this area is so important. We'll look at what can impede us from growth in this area. And we'll look at how we can withhold ourselves through neglect from manifesting or exhibiting the Spirit for the profit of all. Let's first see that spiritual growth is needed in order to edify or benefit the body. We heard a little bit about the body earlier in Mr. Willis's remarks, and it's interesting, some of those themes that were ad-libbed there. Please turn with me to Ephesians 4, verse 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul is discussing the unity of the Spirit in the prior verse, Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So, of course, these in us through God's Spirit. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's drop down to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So that imagery, let's note that imagery. We're going to see that imagery as a theme here. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God sends his servants in order to help equip or perfect us for the work of ministry. The NIV translates that as to prepare God's people for works of service. The works of service are so that the body of Christ, the members that make up God's church, may be built up. Paul shows that God's expectation is that eventually we are to grow into full maturity to be like Christ. Verse 16 gives us a lot of information for the topic today that we're going to talk about. First, let's understand that we have a bond because we each have Christ in us through his Spirit. Let's let that sink in just for a moment before we move on. We share something in common that relatively few in the history of the entire civilization of Earth have ever had together. Paul says the bond we have with one another is similar to how ligaments hold bones in place at the joint. We are to be knit tightly together. If you pull on a joint, elbow or a shoulder, it's supposed to come back quickly because there's an attachment there. There's a bond there. It's knit together. And I think all of us have some room where we could continue to improve in that. Paul also shows us in verse 16 that each part is to be effectively working, doing our share to cause growth of the body. The building or edifying is done through love, which is the act of outgoing concern for one another. Serving the needs of one another out of care and concern, we see here that there is a need for each of us to grow spiritually in order for there to be growth and building of each other, done out of love for one another. Paul describes it as working. It's more than just chatting over coffee every few weeks, possibly after services. There needs to be a connected involvement with one another. Let's see another place where growth is needed for the purpose of benefiting others through love. Please turn with me to John 15, verse 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Jesus, earlier in this chapter, uses the imagery of himself as the vine and his disciples as branches connected to that vine. Those connected to Christ are to bear fruit. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So there's a command here. This is a strong statement by Jesus Christ. And he's speaking, of course, to the disciples here, giving them the responsibility to go out and bear fruit, to begin the process that begins building the church for those that are going to be called. Bearing fruit and loving one another here, though, notice, are tied together, those concepts. Christ uses the word command in connection with the two concepts. The New Revised Standard Version translates verse 17 as, I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. A lot of the areas we grow in spiritually pertain to our interaction and relationships with other human beings, including those other members of the body. Our work with one another in the Spirit is to produce fruit through love and service to one another. Now that we've seen that God requires growth and that growth is connected to edifying the other members of the body through love, let's explore the idea of progressing or advancement. Unfortunately, Satan and his thinking have perverted the idea of advancement in our society, in our world. Today, when we hear the words advancement or promotion, it connotes the idea of self-seeking usually. We can think of pridefulness of position. I have to advance. I have to get up there because I belong up there. It often can create competition and strife. One might think the motivation for advancement is to be, as I said, above others in rank or authority or power. However, God doesn't view proper advancement that way. He views proper advancement as the expected outcome of maturation, of maturity. When he calls someone, he brings them in as a spiritual private, to use a military analogy, in the army. He doesn't want them to remain a private. He doesn't want them to become complacent, to just come and do the same task every day and never have any desire to get better, to get more skilled, to get more able to assist and do more complicated jobs. He wants personal growth and development. He wants us to become mature, fully grown spiritually, in order to be able to be more effective for greater duties and greater responsibilities, so that we can be more useful to him in his plan. Please turn with me to see Paul discuss this idea of progress and advancement. Please turn to Philippians 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. Earlier in the chapter, Paul tells the church at Philippi that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. God views us as a work in progress. Progress means we start from somewhere basic and we advance. Paul, just prior to our verse, is talking about how everything that has happened adversely to him, and he had a lot of things that happened adversely to him, worked out as furtherance or advancement for the gospel. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, so he's talking about here, if he continues to live on as a human being, God will use him, and that will be beneficial. And if God chooses not to allow him to live on, it's okay, because God now has other plans for him in his kingdom. Verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So he saw, if he stays in the flesh, it's a benefit to the brethren there. Verse 25, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Their progress, that progress would produce here the unity of one mind, we're told. And it would cause them to be striving together side by side. There is a fruitfulness to their growth and their progress, notice. That creates a bond of love and service with one another, serving side by side. Let's see the idea of progress and advancement again, linked to loving service, by going to 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 14. And Paul is giving Timothy instruction for his ministry here in this chapter. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So this is to Timothy here as being ordained into the elder, as an elder. Verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Paul reminds Timothy that God's Spirit in him is a gift, and that's a good thing for each of us to remember. That gift, of course, brings responsibility. Paul tells Timothy to give himself entirely to his calling in the ministry, and by doing so, he will progress. He will grow and advance in his responsibilities and his skill in the Word and in the Spirit. We haven't been given the same commission that Timothy was given, but we can see a couple principles here that we should implement. We need to make the purpose and focus of our life entirely on the work God has for us spiritually in this life. And our progress should be evident to those around us. If we don't have evident progress, we may be neglecting the gift that is in us. We have just seen one thing that can impede our growth and advancement: neglecting the Spirit. Let's explore a couple other causes. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. The church in Corinth had some well-documented problems, as we know. One of the issues going on there were divisions. When there are divisions between people, it's difficult to be linked together in a tight bond with others when there's divisions between people. Let's see what causes a lack of unity of the Spirit and a lack of growth and loving acts towards one another here. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Are any of us embroiled in strife in our personal lives? Most likely, carnality is at work, if we are. When we are carnal, we are behaving like mere men. Mere men are people that don't have the Spirit of God. That's not a good look for us if we're converted, if we're changing. As God said to Cain, sin lies at the door. Carnality is not far from any of us. In fact, if we drill a little bit beneath the surface, we may strike carnality pretty quickly. This will be the case until we are transformed into Spirit. However, we can't allow the carnality to bubble up and get on all over our clothes. We have to fight it on the inside and subdue it through God's Spirit when it starts coming up. Carnality causes conflict, wrong attitudes, wrong desires. What does James say? Where do fights come from? They come from our desires. We can't be bound together like ligaments when we have a conflict or division. And we can't be focused on serving others when we can't see past our own selves and our own desires. Let's see another cause which impedes growth in this area. Turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 18. Colossians 2, verse 18. Paul is discussing man-made religious regulations here and how they are not effective in changing carnality. Colossians 2, 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward. taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, again, the carnality, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. We become disconnected to one another when we become disconnected to Christ, the head. Without our direct connection and subjection to Christ, vanity and carnal thinking are quick to rush into our relationships. When we're not one with Christ, we cannot grow. Let's see Peter weigh in on what impedes our growth. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Again, the milk comes back. We just read about the milk. That you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If we have malice towards someone, maybe from a careless word or hurts or wrongs from past interactions, we can't be joined with them as one in the body. If in some way we're hiding who we are, it mentions hypocrisy, if we're hiding who we really are, or maybe we want to cover things that we don't want other people to know about us, then it's hard to be open and sincere and genuine, and we can't be one with one another. If deep down we are envious about some other person's situation, there won't be unity there. If people talk badly about each other in private, it's hard to have unity because that's always in the back of your mind. There has to be a confession of trespasses one to another in order for there to be healing and unity. Peter also recommends consuming the Word of God as a way to change from this kind of thinking. Peter reminds us of the right outcome. There needs to be unity being built in the spiritual house of the church. And there needs to be spiritual sacrifice, effort, work, one to another. Another principle we can apply regarding the impeding of growth is found in the parable of the sower. We won't go through the parable of the sower. I think it hasn't been too long since we've done that. We probably recall that the seed was the word of God. And some of the seed landed on the wayside and there was no growth at all. Some landed on stony ground, shot up very quickly, but didn't have any roots, so it wasn't sustainable. Some landed in the thorns, if you remember. And the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, those choked out the growth. That seed that landed on the good ground produced tremendous fruit, if we recall, 30, 60, 100 fold. If there are any gardeners here, you probably know one truth. I'm a terrible gardener. One of these days we need to learn how to garden because we have space for it. But it's difficult for us to keep plants alive, even in the house. But if you're a gardener, you probably know this one truth. If you're diligent, your plants are going to grow and flourish. If you become neglectful, the weeds are going to grow, and they're going to flourish. One of the two outcomes is going to happen, and one of the two outcomes is happening in our lives today. We daily need to pull the weeds of cares and other desires from our lives so they don't choke our fruitfulness. Let's look at another aspect of what we need to understand regarding impeding growth and advancement spiritually, which blocks the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 22:12. Genesis chapter 22:12. We're probably very familiar with the story of God testing Abraham regarding his son Isaac. God told Abraham to go and offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham proceeded forward with the task and was stopped by God at the last moment, having faith in God that he was going to fulfill the promises that were given to him earlier about his son. Let's notice an aspect of what God tells Abraham after he passed the test. Genesis 22:12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham did not withhold his son. He also didn't withhold of himself. He was fully moving forward there. He was willing to put himself out in the most extreme way in order to serve God. In order for us to manifest the Spirit for the profit of all, we can't withhold of ourselves either toward one another, with those we're supposed to be connected to, like ligaments and joints. We withhold ourselves from one another when we don't make ourselves available to one another. When we become so concerned about the focus of our own lives that we ignore and neglect the needs of those around us. It's in this connected space with one another that we really get the opportunity to manifest or exhibit or express the Spirit for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit working in us allows us to serve one another. It causes us to desire to be tuned in to the needs of who needs assistance or attention. We can express or manifest the Spirit in many ways to one another. But first and foremost, the easiest thing is we can pray for one another. I found that when you pray for someone regularly, you know, if they're in your daily prayers or if they're on your mind frequently and regularly, that you feel more of a kinship with that person. When you see them the next time, you're going to share with them that you've been praying for them and that you're thinking about them, and they know that you care for them. And they feel encouraged and many times inspired by that. The protective walls that we all have of keeping things superficial lower down. There becomes more of a foundation there of the Spirit between one another. There have been so many that have had losses, illnesses, or trials here in the past year. So let's take a little test now. We don't have to turn our papers in. We just take the test in our mind to see where we're at on the withholding ourselves scale. How many did we pray for this past week? How many did we write or call? Hopefully we have prayed for many of these people recently. However, if we came up with a goose egg, we need to get working. We need to progress. We need to advance in order to manifest the Spirit for the profit of all. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25. "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And of course, the opposite is true. "Inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." We are one because Christ is in each one of us. If we aren't attending to the needs of the others in the body, then we are neglecting Christ himself. Christ warns that those who neglect and withhold in this way are in great danger spiritually. Let's explore some additional ways besides prayer in which we can manifest the Spirit for the profit of all. Please turn with me to Romans 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul has just told the Romans that their lives need to be a living sacrifice to God. He's now going to go through how we can be the best body that we can be. Let's see where he starts. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So here again, carnal thinking, the inflated mind, is the first place that it starts to be addressed. That has to be eliminated. Can't function one to another when we start from that place. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In our unity and bond with one another, we begin, as I said, by dealing with people from a place of humility. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So here again we see the joined, being bound, being tied together. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches is teaching. He who exhorts is in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. And he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. So giving preference here means to go before and to show the way. It's like if you open a door for someone, you're giving them preference. Or if you say, oh, I know the way, come follow me. That's you're giving assistance to people and you're leading them in a way that's beneficial for them. Verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So Paul starts out here and ends with humility, showing its importance in our relationships with one another. God gives each of us gifts through his Spirit, things that we can do or benefit for the profit of others. They differ one to another. He says that we need to use them. Hopefully each of us has experience with how we can be of benefit to others. The biggest part is being attentive to one another, to be connected with others in their lives, to care about others and ourselves maybe a bit less. Once we start from that place, I'm sure we'll start seeing opportunities to manifest or exhibit the Spirit for the profit of others. And I know this isn't a new concept for us. I'm sure if we understand this, but it's always a good reminder to have that more in the forefront of our minds. Let's see Paul further explain our responsibilities to one another pertaining to our spiritual gifts. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Let's drop down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. The NIV translates this as there are different kinds of service. Verse 6. And there are diversities of activities. So the NIV says differing kinds of working activities. It's not just fun activities necessarily, it's working activities. But it's the same God who works all in all. Let's notice the words being used here: service, activity, working. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Here we see the main point of what I'm trying to illustrate today. Each of us has been given the Holy Spirit in order to exhibit it by serving one another for the benefit of others. That's how we're able to love one another. Paul goes on to discuss some of the spiritual gifts God gives: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. Let's drop down to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. But now God has set the members. I really find that encouraging. He has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. So I don't know if that goes specifically to which seats we're sitting in today, but he has set the members in the body. I think we can also view one another in a better perspective from this. You and I are important to God. Therefore, we should treat each other as important because we're important to God. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I was thinking about this morning. This is kind of like a Laodicean attitude, isn't it? They have need of nothing. I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. That's the voice of withholding right there. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think, notice that, he doesn't say they are, he said which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. We can't be part of Christ's body and have no need for one another. Each member is necessary. Let's think of that as we approach one another, and let's not look at anyone as less honorable. Instead, as the New Revised Standard Version says, clothe them with greater honor. I have a mental picture that comes to mind from this. I picture a person cold and shivering. You see them maybe a little wet. They come in from the cold. They're cold and shivering. And you put a coat around their shoulders. We need to look for those members of the body that have a little chill. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 12. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, a division or a dissension in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So we suffer for one another when we pray for one another, or when we listen to someone's circumstances patiently and intently, giving of ourselves to them in that moment in a heartfelt way. Continuing on in verse 26 here, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles. So again, here we're not talking about rank in terms of how human carnal thinking is. We're talking about jobs. These are different jobs that each of these people have to do. Third teachers, after that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. I like these next two words here. Helps. Administrations. And varieties of tongues. Helps means those able to help others. We may not be prophets and teachers now, but we certainly can be helps to others. Administrations means gifts of administration. Those who can organize, lead, volunteer, take on responsibilities. We had a bunch of people doing that last Saturday. We have people doing that today. There's always areas where there is need. The Spirit allows us to look for and recognize those needs and step up and fill them. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So again, we got to take our carnal thinking cap. Normally, earnestly desiring the best gifts, we think of a little kid waiting for, you know, the Christmas gifts under the tree, right? Not our kids, of course. The King James Version translates that as covet earnestly. Coveting, the 10th commandment. But here in this case, covet earnestly. It's a oxymoron, right? But it isn't selfish if we're desiring better gifts in order to benefit others. That goes hand in hand with the idea of our need to be advancing and progressing. We advance in our ability to benefit and profit others through the Spirit. When we develop the gifts by working with them, that is what it means to exhibit or manifest the Spirit for the profit of all. So it's okay to covet in that way because you want more of God's Spirit so that you can do more of what He wants you to do to be a benefit to others. The more excellent way Paul is referring to here is revealed in the next chapter. We go right into 1 Corinthians 13, which is, of course, the love chapter. He is referring to the way of love, a more excellent way. When we use the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit of others, we are loving one another. That's what Christ commands us to do. That's the more excellent way. Brethren, God requires growth in His children. He doesn't want to look down on us and see us as children forever, as little children that are not learning or growing or advancing. He wants us to grow up and mature. He wants A's on our report cards. He wants us to advance and progress in maturity. He does not want us to impede that growth process through neglect, through carnality, through withholding ourselves, or not holding fast to the head. If we are connected and one with Christ, we will be one and connected with one another. Let's continue to work diligently at serving one another through prayer, through workings, and being actively involved with one another, clothing those parts of the body that may have a chill. Let's covet and desire better gifts of the Spirit of God, which He'll give us in order to benefit and profit one another. And let's walk in the more excellent way.